sang a few songs. You want to start for us? Well, if you would.
Dear Father, thank you for this night, Lord. Thank you for the day of rest you've given to us. Thank you for Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins and for saving our souls, Lord. And Lord, may we see more souls saved tonight, Lord. In the last book of life, may we write new entries for those that accept Jesus Christ as a Savior to watch and the blood-bought cross of Calvary, Lord, that Jesus died for us and for those that repent of their sins, Lord. Pray for our land, Lord, and see us so smiley, Lord, and help those with COVID, Lord, and get over it, and Lord, make a warning call to those that have got COVID, Lord, heal them all, also, Lord, but also, Lord, give them a warning call that they're close to eternity, Lord, and save them mightily and powerfully, Lord, as well, Lord, them and their kin, Lord. Pray for our land, pray for our world leaders, pray for Johnson, Joe Biden, and put the fear of God into them, Lord, and save them from their sins, Lord, and Lord, and stop them from their philandering ways, Lord, and save them mightily and powerfully as well, Lord. Also pray for the churches, Lord, and the evangelists, the pastors, the ministers, the missionaries, Lord, and any other people are preaching them tonight, Lord. Pray for them also, Lord, give them a touch of the Spirit, Lord, and may they reach to those that are lost, Lord, and strike a chord to those that are lost, Lord, and touch them with the Spirit, Lord, and convict them, and Lord, ultimately, then may put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, Lord, even tonight. And may it be soon rather than later, Lord. Bless us and keep us, Lord. Bless us in every we have discovered and every house that's represented, Lord. And if Marcus comes to preach the gospel, we give them touch the gospel, touch in the Spirit, Lord. And Lord, strengthen our hearts and our souls, Lord, as well. And save souls mightily and powerfully. Bless us and keep us for Jesus Christ again,
amen. I want to start with 361. Charlotte's special request. 361 in this book. I don't think we've sung that for a while, but it's a good old hymn. Did you think to pray? 361.
Amen.
65, and we'll sing Just Over in Glory Land. If you do have a hymn that you'd like for us all to sing this evening, I bear it in mind, and we'll get to a couple of requests after Will brings us the Bible reading.
Numbers.
I did indeed. Just Over in Glory Land.
Make sure you listen. I'll be asking questions later. I'm not joking. Thank you, Bob.
Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone abhorring from thy God. Thou hast loved the reward upon every corn floor. The floor and the winepress shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail them. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat on clean plains in Assyria. They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted for their bread, for their souls shall not come into the house of the Lord. What will you do in the solemn day and on the day of the feast of the Lord? For lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bear them. The pleasant places are full of silver. The metals shall possess them. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles. The days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad for the multitude of thine iniquity and thy great hatred. The watchman of Ephraim was with my God. But the prophet is a snare of a father in all his ways, and hatred in the hearts of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves in the days of Gibeah, therefore he will remember the iniquity, he will visit their sins. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time, but they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth and from the womb and from the conception. Though they bring up their children, yet will I grieve them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I healed them. For wickedness of their doings I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Amen. Take a minute. Just want to send and remind you of the prayer list. I need to find mine first. There we go. Anybody have any prayer requests? Anything to add to...
Just private prayer requests.
Private. Well, we have you down for private already, Will. I'll put a double stroke under that. Mrs. Bradford, you look like you have one.
Bonnie Wilcox.
Bonnie Wilcox. That is a lady that we know from Monica's mom and dad in their church in Black Creek. Jim and Bonnie. Pray for Jim or Bonnie Wilcox, if you would. Nothing else? Have you any prayer requests, Stephen?
Just hope we get my head better again.
Tell you what, you lose a lot when you can't see, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
Anyway.
Seeing blind, half blind.
Don't joke. Well, you make sure you ping your ears back if you're not seeing so well, but please do remember all of our other prayer requests. Don't forget Ling and Frank. We'll not be seeing Frank again. He'll be away on Tuesday for about a month and a half. So whenever you're saying your prayers, see if you can squeeze Frank in there a little
Probably
bit.
Frank's exams.
He's got his exams coming up, but never asked for any prayer for them, so... I think he's just, has he got the exam? It is the exams that he has to do. He's not just waiting for the results, is it?
No, when the basic exams.
So, don't forget Frank. Anybody else, anything else, like, they're thankful for, or?
It's like, could you just, my friend Michael Sass, and the prayer is just that he gets one saved for them. I think that's really good.
That he
gets one saved? Oh. Yes.
Is he traveling now?
No, he's in Ukraine at the moment.
Oh, is he trying to leave?
No, he's in the heart of Donbass right now.
Okay, Michael Sass. We'll certainly be thinking on him as well. We'll just go in with Colin and Charlotte entry on the prayer list. And
yeah, that's right.
Whatever we think on you, we'll think on him. Anything else? Don't forget Norman and me. Whenever we're working on the church, there's still a fair bit to do, and there's two of us doing it, pray for strength and wisdom and patience for Norman and perseverance for Norman.
You never have to pray for patience for me.
That's because I was praying for it for myself. I think Norman said something to the effect, as long as the tea's as good as it always has been, we'll be grand. Or takes 3 or 4 cups in a day to get the keep them sweet. But I don't mind that. I appreciate everybody's prayers, contributions, missions, tithes, reading, prayers. They're all, they might not seem necessary, and some of them might seem like a chore, but they all go to rubbing the rough edges off of us and preparing us for what God actually has for us. So please do not forget to set aside those things. It's a way of showing the world that you're worshipping and praising God, but it's also a way of showing the devil where your allegiances lie. Did you ever hear the old saying, talk is cheap, put your money where your mouth is? So don't forget, this is real. It's not something we carry on at on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening. I learn a great many things. Like in the Beatitudes this morning, there was things that I saw there just yesterday for the first time, even though I've preached on the Beatitudes maybe 3 or 4 times. Always learning. Whenever you can say, I have learned enough, I know that you are on your way out. Just like that. I know you're done. And you're on your way out. If you keep learning, you keep your mind attuned to that, you will save your mind. And if you apply it in your life, you will save your body too, as well as your soul. So please do remember those things. Don't forget to pray, just like when the song said at the very start. Nobody, anything else? Good job. Let's pray then, and then we'll sing another song. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've done for us. And even just to say that, it makes it sound very lovely. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus, and the amazing preparations that were made for his walk and his ministry in this world 2,000 years ago, and the great sacrifice that he made on the cross to cover our sins with his own precious blood. For the intercession that he makes for each and every one of us day by day ever since, for preservation of your word, for even just for the desire to be here, Lord, for living in Northern Ireland, literally the Butlins holiday camp of Christianity in the whole world. I pray you please, Lord, that Christians wouldn't be so soft here, Lord, that they would be willing and unwilling, should I say, and unable to speak up for you and to live for you. Please strengthen us, Lord, and please provide us portions of wisdom and understanding. And please, Lord, put the pieces of your word together in our hearts and minds in a way that builds us up. Lord, I just want to call out a few names. That fellow Michael Sass, that Colin knows, you know his situation and you know his needs, and I pray that you would supply them. For Bonnie Wilcox, Lord, and all her difficulties right now, and Jim as well, Lord, it always hurts everybody in the family. Please do remember them. I pray as well, Lord, for our moms and dads, our aunts and uncles, our nieces and nephews, our sons and daughters, and just for each other, Lord, and I pray you please that you would take and do some work in our lives today. We've got Stephen back, Lord, and I pray that you would work in his life as well, and in the life of his mum and his brother, and we pray most importantly, Lord, for your will to be done. Please bless Norman and myself as we labour to get your house up and running. And each one of us, and especially Colin as he prepares to change jobs. And Charlotte and her new mom, just thank you for those answered prayers, Lord. I love you and thank you. I know there's a bunch of other stuff on our prayer list, Lord, but I pray that you would continually constrain the leaders of all the countries across the world. Please oppose wickedness and devilment in our own lives and the lives of those around and about us across the world, Lord, even today. And Lord, bless those that are making a point of serving. Deliver provision, Lord. I pray you for those Holy Spirit coincidences. Thank you for loving us for this wee bit of time, for your word, for your Son, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. and Lord, for the greatest of purposes. Love you and thank you. Amen. Right, let's sing another song. If anybody have a request, does anybody have one? You don't have to have one, but you're welcome to call the number out right and quick.
22.
In the this
black
one
book.
Here.
No.
The black book.
Big book.
Big book?
Yeah.
No, not the big book, the long book. Are you washed in the blood? Does anybody else have one? And I'll put a crease in the page. Got space for two more if you...
245, the old account will settle.
Sounds good. I actually have that one already creased to see. There you go.
318.
That sounds familiar, actually. You're trying to get one. We tried that another night, we still haven't learned that.
Is it in the musical show?
You test me. You test me, boy.
I'll write that down so I can play.
You did call that out one other day, didn't you? And I think you had the same reaction.
Yeah, I think I did, yeah.
Monica still has to work on me in that. She's not getting the opportunity when I'm down at church.
246.
You just call them random.
No, no, it's out. Redeemed.
Yeah, we know that.
I knew he's going to do that to me.
Yeah, we can do that. Norman?
381.
381. Not 318, but 381. Fight a good fight. We're all done and dusted. Number 22, you washed in the blood. Start with that.
Thank you.
machine. Fight the good fight. We'll do that one next. We'll have to stand for this because you can't get a good swing at anything sitting down. 381. 381. Fight the good fight. That we will have a stab at the end of the service. But in the meantime, if you want to put your hymn books away for a little bit and go to 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28. And I think we'll just read this chapter of God's Word. 1 Samuel chapter 28. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. Hope you had a good afternoon. I certainly did. Pray you got stuff done. Glad to see you again this evening. It would be very lonely without you. I got my fill of doing services to empty churches whenever I was given them here on a Saturday morning during COVID. So are you all right there, Stephen?
Yep. Sure am. Just had a blind bump.
I don't want to hear you sniffing again during the service, do you hear me?
I don't know.
Alright, 1 Samuel chapter 20. And we'll give Norman a chance here to. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do.
Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits, and the wizards, out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together, and came and pitched in Shunem. And that's an interesting name. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself, and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off, that is, killed those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets, neither by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and given it to thy neighbour, even David. Because thou obeyedst not the voice of the Lord, nor executed his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow thou and thy sons, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth, and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night. And the woman came unto Saul, and saw that he was sore troubled, and said unto him, behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in thy hand, and have hearkened unto thy words which thou spakest unto me. Now therefore, I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thine handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. But he refused and said, I will not eat. But his servants, together with the woman, compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat upon the bed. And the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hasted and killed it, and took flour and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof. And she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. Then they rose up and went away that night. Verses 6 and 7 is our text. And we're speaking on the subject of any port in a storm. Any port in a storm. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again. Please be with us as we spend this time in your word. Please help and extend our understanding of your word and how it applies to us even today. And Father, we love you. Thank you for your long-suffering and patience for us. And I pray you please, Lord, that you would touch each one of us this evening. We really do need you, Lord. And the week beckons, and I know there's many things that's going to come our way. Please use this as a time of preparation, of settling, of peace, Lord. Of just being away from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and around your word. And Lord, we beg you that you would work on our hearts and minds tonight. Help us save souls. Please edify saints. Please, Lord, I pray, bless those that come teaching and preaching your word, not even at this time, but at this time around the world, Lord. We love you and praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your patience and long-suffering for us. And we leave these things at your feet. Think especially on Bonnie this evening, Bonnie Wilcox, Michael Sass. I love you and praise you, Lord. Amen. Now, any port in a storm. I'm going to read these two verses again, and then I'm going to give you a little bit of background about Saul and the reason that he was brought to this point. Verses 6 and 7, and when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by the prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And the servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. That is our text, and I hope that you can see that this particular point in Saul's life, he desperately wanted not just to know what the Lord was going to say, but he wanted the Lord's blessing. He wanted to be able to go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to beat the Philistines. As we read later on, we see that Samuel explains the reason why the Lord is not listening to him anymore, and why, especially, he was going to lose his life. As we look way back, years previous to this, whenever there were still judges, the Lord said to Samuel, I want you to go and anoint this man king. Because the children of Israel are like spoiled brats. They have beaten so many people, and they saw the pomp and the glory of the many kings that came, their gold and their chariots and their nice clothes. And they wanted to be like them. They basically rejected God as their king, and they wanted a man as king. So God said to Samuel, there's a big fella that lives not too far from here, head and shoulders taller than everybody else, maybe 6.5, maybe 7 foot tall. Go and anoint him as king. And the funny thing about it is, even though he was a hugely imposing figure, he was very, very shy. He was a nobody. And they had to go and pull him out from one of the tents because he was hiding there whenever he was called out to be anointed in front of everybody. And certain things happened. Saul was sent by his father to go and look for some of his flocks. And as it happened, he was anointed by the Holy Spirit a number of times. And he was found preaching and teaching amongst the prophets of the day. And the word of God said it would be spoken that Saul was one of the prophets. So God literally was literally working in his life. He literally had his hand upon his shoulder. He was literally using his people to direct Saul to the throne of the kingdom of Israel. And Saul won a lot of victories. God blessed him. And God gave him victory after victory. He gave him wives, he gave him family, he gave him power, he gave him riches, he gave him soldiers, he gave him servants, he gave him all sorts. And one day, Saul blanked. And what happened was, by way of testing, because God knows what way that we're going to hop. But sometimes we need to know what way we're going to hop whenever certain things happen. So Samuel told Saul to turn up at a certain place, and after that day he would carry out the sacrifice before God. So Saul turned up, and Samuel was a bit late. And Saul took it upon himself, literally took a death sentence upon himself, to offer up the sacrifice in Samuel's place. Samuel wasn't happy with it, for it was not his place to do that. In fact, anybody that went into the Holy of Holies without God's, his blessing or his explicit command, would quite literally have been put to death. God would have killed him himself, and did so back in the days of Moses quite a few times. And Samuel scolded him. He scolded him quite harshly, and Saul was humbled a little bit. And then, by way of another test, God told Saul, you might have seen the name of Agag there, I think it was Agag. Somewhere in what we were looking at this evening. Where is it? Amalek, there it is there, in verse number 18. He was told to go and utterly wipe out the Amalekites, because they were people that had caused a lot of trouble to the children of Israel. And he said, I want you to kill the men, I want you to kill the women, I want you to kill the children, and I want you to destroy, kill all of their flocks, and literally burn everything. That whole place is like a pariah, it's like a creeping rot, and if you take any of it for yourself, it's going to infect you, and not in a good way. So Saul goes and he's off to battle, and there's a great victory. But whenever Samuel arrives, he says, what's that sound? And it was the sheep bleating. And Saul said, oh, that's the sheep that we kept from the Amalekites. And even as he was talking, King Agag, the king of the Amalekites, came out, and he was all like, hoping that the heat of battle had passed, and I can almost see him like, is it Shylock from The Merchant of Venice, rubbing his hands and looking humbly at Saul and Samuel, hoping that the bloodlust that the people would have, the narrow vision of killing their enemy, had passed. And he says, surely this feeling has passed. And Samuel said, to Agag, as your sword has made many women childless, so shall your mother be childless. And he took his sword and he cut Agag in pieces. Saul was perhaps hoping that there would be a ransom paid to him for this king, because that's what was done back in the day. And then Samuel said to Saul, I see a lot of flocks here that you didn't start with, and I see some of the clothes here that you didn't start with. What's all this score here? And Saul said, oh, the people wanted them, so I let them have them. And Samuel said, did God not say to you that this was exactly the way he wanted it done? And Saul said, but the people. And at that moment, the words that we read there, Samuel said to Saul, God's done with you. And as he walked away, Saul caught a hold of Samuel's garment, and it tore, a bit of it came off in his hand. And Samuel turned to Saul and said, you see, in exactly the same way that you have torn my garment, God has torn the kingdom from you and given it to your neighbor who is better than you. And it was all during that time that David was being prepared and groomed and being blessed of God to take Saul's place. One of the things that really drew Saul away was literally taking his eyes off of God for a second, and he rested them on all of the things that God had given him, and he forgot to put his eyes back on God. It's okay to enjoy God's blessings, but they're God's blessings, they're a thing, they're not God. They don't make you holy. It is your walk with God that makes you holy in this world. It is your salvation that prepares you for the streets of gold for heaven. And we know that it was a difficult time for David. Because when David came back with Saul from killing Goliath, the people were singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And Saul started to get jealous. Who is this man? He's a shepherd. Goodness, and he's only young too. Who is he for people to be singing his praises like that? But that was to test Saul. To see if Saul's heart was lifted up in himself, or to see if Saul's heart was fixed upon God. And it's very important that you watch God and not the things that God has done for you. You need to keep your eyes on God, for all of those things that God has delivered at your feet can someday just be as easily gone, or they might only be for a little time. So, over a period of time, Saul actually sent soldiers to kill David. The first time, the Lord allowed an evil spirit to come and torment Saul. And Saul had David, he was quite good at playing the lute or whatever it is that people played back in the day. And it comforts Saul listening to gentle music, maybe the music that they would sing along with the Psalms. It comforted him and he got peace. But he got so bitter and so jealous that he took a javelin one time and tried to nail David to the wall with it. And David escaped. And then one other instance, he tried again. And he was about to have him officially killed whenever David just made a run for it. And Saul sent soldiers after him. And Saul even went after him himself. And twice he was within hand's reach of David. One night Saul, whenever he was chasing David, he shacked up in a cave. And David and his men were in the back of the cave. And whenever Saul and his men went to sleep, they could quite easily have taken their lives. Another one, they were in a camp not that far away, and the Lord put a deep sleep upon them, and David and a couple of his men went up, and they took a spear, and they took his water carrier, and from a hill across the way said, I had your life in my hands, I could have killed you. In each of those times, there were faint glimmers of the man that Saul used to be. Comprehension that his life had been forfeit, but it had been granted back to him again. But he never really changed. And so we come to here. The very crux of the matter, a big crossroads. And even for a man or woman to be far, a Christian man or a Christian woman to be far, far away from God, you can stop what you're doing. And you can turn back to God. You can be neck deep in the sins that nearly destroyed you before you got saved, or even new ones that the devil has brought your way. And if you come to your senses, God will honour your turning back to him. There might be rough times on the road back to fellowship, but God will honour that if you stop, if you listen to God. It's all done. Saul said, and he could almost see him saying his prayers, God help me. And it might have been like that because by the sounds of things, he wasn't that close to God anymore. And so he sent to the priests, go and pray for God and see if there's an answer for me about this battle. And there wasn't. And there's a thing called the Urim and the Thummim. It was like a breastplate and it had precious stone for each one of the tribes of Israel on. And it was like it was like a telephone to God. Basically, if you were in the presence of this, or you were touching it and you were praying, you were speaking to God. That's not the way it was, but something like that, spiritual version of that. And he tried that as well. There's still no answer from God. He even waited, because sometimes, you know, God speaks to people in dreams. He did it for Solomon, his grandson. But he wouldn't speak. God was done with him. He had gone that far that God was finished with him. And just to give the final example, God didn't answer him directly. God didn't answer him when he was in the, using the Urim and the Thummim, I think that's the name. And God wouldn't answer the priests on his behalf. So what does Saul say? What would a sensible person say? Do you know what? I'm not hearing anything from God. I would really need to get down on my hands and knees and start a day or two of fasting and repentance and prayer. Perhaps God will have mercy on us. He might tell us to go home and become tributaries to the Philistines. But maybe my life would be saved. Maybe the country in its entirety would be saved. I have done wrong. I need to get right with God. That's what he should have said. But what did he say? I wonder, is there any fortune tellers in the land? Is there anybody that speaks to devils that I could go and speak to that would give me some advice? And I even noticed whenever he went, and this is another quite worrying thing, that his servants knew where there was a woman in the land, and that speaks very poorly, because they were supposed to have been put to death or put out of the country. But the fact that they were starting to creep back in, and the servants knew where it was, and that woman had not been killed or put out of the country, shows that Saul was on his way out. He even swore by the God that he was supposed to be serving that he would not put her to death in direct contravention of God's laws. That's how mixed up and messed up Saul was at this point. God was very gracious. And God sent Samuel and scared the living daylights out of the witch of Endor. She got the fright of her life. Maybe this might have been the first time in her life when a spirit had ever come up. He says, what do you want me for? And he says, I've tried everything and I can't get in touch with God. And you know what Samuel said? You have made God your enemy. God is not helping you. He is opposing you. And I'll tell you something else, Saul. This time tomorrow, you and your family will be here with me. You and your boys are all going to be dead. And it's not going to be their fault, because one of Saul's sons, Jonathan, absolutely, he loved David like a brother. It's because of Saul. And we need to be careful of that. Saul chose to go to devil worshippers. Saul chose to check with fortune tellers and tarot card readers, tea leaf readers, whatever you want to call it, anything that you go to instead of God. Proverbs chapter 3 tells us to do what? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will guide or direct your paths. That's Proverbs chapter 3. Saul didn't, and it ended abruptly and badly. Well, it left room for David, and David came in, and he was a great king, had a great pedigree for many, many years, until he too went off the rails in later life. Just because there is an opening in the world, Christian, an option for you in the world to get a quick and maybe even a dirty answer or solution to a problem that you are having, and you cannot get an answer from God for whatever, you need to stop for a moment. You need to do what the Bible says. Judge yourself. Have a look at your own life. Check and see if you're at church. Check and see if you're reading your Bible. Check and see if you are receiving any help at all from your prayers. Do you feel rested? Do you feel satisfied that you've spent time in God's presence? Is God speaking back to you, even if it's only him putting his hand on a fevered brow and giving you a few minutes of spiritual rest? Are you still getting a kick out of the old hymns, or are you back to the old worldly songs? Have you started spending your money on stupid things, or are you giving to the church? Are you tithing and giving your offerings to the church? You need to judge yourself and see where your loyalties are lying. And if they're not lying at the foot of the cross, do not expect God to be helping you. Don't expect it. In his graciousness, he might say, well, you're in a bad spot. You need to repent of the way you've been going, and you need to go back. Do you remember the place, the last place that you heard from me? You need to go back there. That's a little bit like, if I'm speaking to you now in my inside voice, as they say. You can hear me. If I was to open this door and go down here and speak halfway through the hall, it gets a bit fainter, doesn't it? But you can still hear me. If I walk away now to the kitchen...
It's...
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
yes.
Only ladies can hear.
You
we didn't know we were supposed to talk.
I didn't say speak quietly amongst yourself. That's the way a lot of people are. They are that far away from God, still have the relationship, but there's no communication. You cannot hear what God is saying to you, or I can't hear. I start making bad decisions. We need to make sure that the port in whatever particular storm that we are in at any given time, and they will come, we need to make sure that port is okayed by God. If you're alive, which I hope you are, otherwise this would be an interesting service. And the fact that you're in Bethel means that you've been thrown a lifeline, or you've been given a chance to do things differently to what you were doing before you landed here. And I'm going to tell you this, a lot of people have come to Bethel over the years from different churches, but every single one that has left Bethel has not gone on to do better. Every single one. God loves you, and he gives you so many opportunities, all of us, to do the right thing. If we consistently do the wrong thing. There's a little verse in Romans chapter 1 where God said, for those people that, now instead of me trying to remember it and quote it badly, let me just read it for you in Romans chapter 1. It says in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, in other words, a mind that won't even think about godly things, to do those things which are not convenient. And knowing the judgment of God, if you as a Christian do those things, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Do not expect things to go well for you if you set your face against God. If you continually kick against him, you know what? It's okay to chafe at what God says. It's okay to say in your heart, who does he think he is telling me that? But you and I, at the very least, when we hear a message, we should go to the Bible or even go to the preacher and say, what were those verses in the Bible? Because I want to double check those for myself. And I'll get them for you. In fact, load Takata or some Bible program on your phone and just type the words in until you get the verse and find out for yourself. And verify that it's not me speaking to you, but it's God speaking to you from his word. God wants it to be that when you're in the middle of a storm in your life, whether it's interpersonal, whether it's financial, whether it's health, whatever it is, He wants for you to have a safe harbour. He wants for you to... Remember when Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have called you to myself as a hen gathers the chickens?" And he would not. That's where God wants you. But we have the freedom of will. We have the opportunities to make any decision we want. And that's why God punishes us for the things we do wrong as Christians and rewards us for the things that we do right. Our salvation is never in doubt, but our peace of mind and our walk in this world, it can certainly be influenced. There will be difficult times. That just goes with the territory. We spoke a little bit about it this morning. People will ignore you. People will betray you. People will let you down. I may let you down from time to time. It will never be on purpose. And I'll never set out to do it. And you will get hurt. And you will feel, for whatever reason, not from what I do, I hope, but the world, the flesh, and the devil will take a divot out of you or put a dent in you. And you're going to want to run somewhere for comfort. You make sure it's to God. Make sure it's to God no matter what happens to you. Make sure when you're running for cover, when you're running for comfort, when you're running for a reason, make sure you make it to God. He is the one that knows everything. He doesn't tell us all the ins and outs of everything. He says, if you just start taking steps in that direction, I'll see you right. Make sure it's God. Not yourself. Not what you think, but what the Bible says. There's a great verse that is always on my mind. It's Romans 8:28. Everybody should know it by now. And this was Paul in his letter to the church at Rome, 1,500 years late after this, give or take. And he said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are saved, and to them that are the called according to his purpose, to them that obey me." And that's what God wants for you. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time. I pray that you got the message. I sort of stumbled through trying to tell you that stick with God and his direction, things will work out so much better. Amen. Which one are we on now?
4:6.
4:6. Is that redeemed?
Yeah.
2:46. Where are we? 2:46. There we go. 2:46. We want. Did you request the old account?
Who did you know?
No, I did. Yes.
And then I think Norman. Colin requested 2:46.
I thought that. We'll do 2:46 first. We're not in a rush away, are we?
No. It's just 5 past.
What?
It's early.
I was going easy on you after this
We'll do 2, 4, 5 as well. Let's stand for that one. Amen. If I can sing it, I've just been chatting for the last 3/4 of an hour, I am sure everyone else will be grand. You'll not die. 2, 4, 5. Just look, send your eyes to the left a little bit, and you'll be there.
Bless us as we go to a new week, Lord, and may you be at the forefront
off the new week board, maybe we say a blessing on the readings. We the Bible readings we read every day, Lord, in our prayers, so maybe we answer, Lord. And we also give to pray for us as well, Lord. We have Michael Sass over in Ukraine, Lord, love him, give him protection, Lord, love him in trouble, Lord. And Lord, save his soul, Lord, and save his life, Lord, but primarily save his soul and bring him safely home, and safe and secure, Lord, as well, Lord. For Frank as he go to university, Lord, back to London, Lord, protect him and keep, Lord, and Lord, give him his studies, Lord, and help him pass the exams, Lord, get his degree, Lord, and bless him wifely and bring him closer, step with thee as well, Lord. For us, let's go to home in safety, Lord, and thank you for your love, Lord, and give us in case we just press again.
Yeah, thank you, Will. God bless you, folks. We are dismissed.